We come this morning in the Gospel of Luke to chapter 10, the closing lesson, verses 38 to 42. A wonderful lesson of Mary and Martha. Begin reading with verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Luke describes Martha in this situation as cumbered. Mary works in an accounting system that's called the encumbrance accounting system. It means basically that when you commit to an obligation, you recognize it on the books, even though maybe the service hasn't been performed or the bill received. You know what it is, and you put it on the books as an expense, an obligation. We've heard too many. I've preached too many sermons juxtaposing Mary and Martha, putting a big white hat on Mary and a big black hat on Martha. I've heard preachers in the pulpit say, Martha, get out of the kitchen and listen to Jesus. I'm not going to paint Martha black this morning. She doesn't deserve it. What is she doing? Number one, an interesting thought that just dawned on me as I was studying this week. Martha received Jesus and the disciples into her house. It's her house. Her siblings, Lazarus and Mary, live with her in her house. When someone comes to your home, do you feel obligated to be hospitable and to take care of their needs and make them feel welcome? And if it's mealtime, to feed them? Of course you do. Martha is not encumbered with stuff out there in the world. She's encumbered with trying to honor Jesus. Is there something wrong with that? Not at all. So let's try to redraw the lines with Mary and Martha and avoid putting Martha down. She loved Jesus. She wanted to honor him with what she was doing. In verse 39, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. We find indications of this in several places, but in Acts 22:3, where Paul is describing his personal history, he says he was raised up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, a leader and a member of the Sanhedrin court of the Jews. To sit at someone's feet in this culture was to recognize them as your teacher and to sit as a student in their classroom to learn from them and be taught by them. That's where Mary is. Nothing wrong with that either, is there? Not at all. In terms of priorities, it raises an interesting question. Which does Jesus most prefer? A nice meal or a faithful disciple? And one who hears his words? In a way, in verse 40, when Martha approaches Jesus, do you not care? Didn't you notice? I'm doing all the work. Let me put a little bit of perspective here. God bless the Marthas we have in our church here. And when we think about putting the Marthas down, let's have a three-day meeting. Let's get through First Sunday potluck with no Marthas in the house. You go back there? Well, let's sing a hymn and have Job teach us a lesson. Well, where's the food? Oh, all the Marthas took time out today. 3-day meeting. You have service, two preachers preach a long-winded sermon each in the morning, and you get to lunchtime. There's no lunch. Let's take a break, have a drink of water, and come back for more preaching. How's that going to go over? Yeah, I like the proverbial lead balloon, right? No, thank you. The biggest Martha thought and complaint sometimes is there are just not enough Marthas to help. Martha is in here in the kitchen all alone preparing, not just for Jesus, but there are at least 12 other men and probably some more that went with them. How'd you like to have 12 to 15 people drop in on your home and it's mealtime? Are you going to be sitting there visiting with them? Are you going to be working in the kitchen to get things done? That's the situation we're looking at here. Bible commentary, Abbott describes Martha as busy and anxious. She's pulled in two directions. Just like her sister, she would love to be in there sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to every word he says, but she feels she's the head of the house. She owns the house. She welcomed him. She feels an obligation of hospitality, which was very important in Jewish culture, to take care of him. I love a comment that was I found in a Bible writer, Robert Stein, as he described the Martha problem, the tyranny of the urgent. Think about what that means. A tyrant is just somebody who takes over. There's no kindness. There's no negotiating. He takes over and runs everything. Do we let the urgent, what we identify as urgent in our lives, so many times take over? The urgency of my work schedule. The urgency of. And it all becomes a tyrant in our lives. We could make what she says to Jesus a complaint. And in a way, it is. And when Jesus says, Martha, you're cumbered about much serving. There's so many things in your life. We need to think about the possibility of a contrast. In verse 42, when Jesus finally gives her the good side, she says, Mary has chosen that good part. Mary chose one thing. Martha has all these things that are weighing her down. And all she has to do, since Sandra's been ill, I've had a lot of kitchen responsibility. And ladies, I am learning to be much more empathetic than I ever was before. I've known my way around the kitchen for most of our married life, but it was a special meal that Joe does. It wasn't three meals a day. I'm learning that the clock is one of the most horrible enemies of a well-prepared meal. Ladies, I have to salute you to get all these things prepared and have them all get done at the same time. I accidentally did that last night and congratulated myself. Oh, Mary is one thing. And even some footnotes to some King James Bibles identify Mary has chosen a few things. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Set your affections on heavenly things. There's more than one spiritual thing to obligate us, our minds and to occupy us with constructive, edifying things. But Mary, the list just goes on and on and on. And finally, it just weighs her down. And probably she steamed a little bit. So she storms into the room where Jesus is teaching, interrupts the teaching. Don't you know what's going on? Who's she talking to? He knows. He knows so well. Tell her to help me. What was Martha's real problem? It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't even
Mary. Martha's real problem was Martha.
The culprit, the tyrant, for her at this moment was worry. Every Bible with a center column for references to other scriptures should put a big, bold cross-reference to Philippians chapter 4 and remind us to go there. Careful is a word that Jesus uses to describe Martha. And what does Paul say in Philippians chapter 4? Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication, make your requests known to the Lord. When our list gets too long for us to manage, it's not too big for Jesus. Give it to him. There's a cycle in life. You start out in a very small space and very helpless. You grow, become more active. We have such a beautiful example. And a little fellow there, love it. Love the activity, the life that he exudes. And as we get older, we get more and more things. And life becomes like juggling a handful of balls. And the more we advance in life, the more balls we try to keep balanced in the air, all without dropping one. And then when one ball drops, everything comes crashing down. That's Mary. That's her trouble and her difficulty. Jesus defines for us what Mary's cumbrance was. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Careful means to have anxious concern, to worry. And trouble means to be emotionally upset about something. You're troubled, you're bothered. It's becoming an emotional issue to you. That's exactly Mary's problem. That's so much of the time our problem, isn't it? Oh, so much of the time. One thing is needful. And then Jesus says, Mary has chosen that good part. The word part is translated from a word which means portion. You think of portion in terms of food, don't you? You take a, you're going through the line on first Sunday potluck. You take a portion of the meals you want to eat and put it on your plate. If we could extend the food analogy to this lesson, Martha was trying to content herself with a few appetizers that Jesus provided, while Mary enjoyed a gourmet meal from Jesus. Then it comes down for us. What's my encumbrance? What have I obligated long before I need to pay the bill in my life? What have I obligated that I may never pay the bill at all for? Because the obligation is only here and not real. I don't know what Mary or Martha was cooking in the kitchen. But I think about when Sandra has hosted people in our home. When we have our potluck, so many times we go so out. And I don't misunderstand me. I love it. I love everything comes from your kitchen. Every single dish. I love those chicken pot pies. Even if they come from Costco, they are good. I love them. But if we really made up our minds and got our heads together, could we do something much simpler, like have sandwiches on first Sunday? Like have soup and sandwiches, or even something simpler on a special meeting? And give those dear Marthas in our church more time to be in here. I'd be the first to amen that idea, the very first. What kind of encumbrances do I buy into that takes me running to Jesus? Don't you care? What's going on? Where are you when I need you? It could be job. You just got passed over by a promotion you thought you deserved. It could be, Lord knows, too many people today are encumbering themselves with their political ideology and buying a heavyweight. I actually was registered for one of the major parties most of my adult life, and I finally said, you know, there's so much wrong with both of them, I'm going to register as an independent. And I did, after 63 years with one of the parties. I needed to disencumber. I pray for the country. I will go to the poll and vote every time there's a national election, as long as I'm able. But I need to disencumber. I've talked to you about my dad talking with a next-door neighbor in the fields about politics, and they didn't agree, but they would talk. But before they talk politics, how you doing? How's the crop this year? How's your family? You doing okay? How's your health? What do you think about politics? And they'd have a very low-key, friendly discussion. And when they finished the discussion, they'd shake hands to wish each other well and go back to work. You can't have that kind of conversation today. It's so angry and polarized. Too much encumbrance needs to be dropped. Oh, does it ever? Jared, I'm going to pick on Texas just a little bit. There's a tease in Texas that the two major religions in Texas are church and football, Friday night football. Could we make athletics our encumbrance? Our dear Virginia was a devoted Dodger fan. Sandra and I aren't quite that devoted, but yeah, go blue, that's okay. And we have a grandson who loves to tease Sandra, and he'll wear a Padres hat to a family get-together just to encumber Sandra a little bit. It can be family. But I suggest, my friends, that like Mary, the greatest encumbrance every one of us must face every day is the person we see in the mirror, right here. That's my greatest encumbrance, my greatest hindrance to doing the right thing, to serving God, to serving each other. There's an interesting it's a common word for us, but it's not used that often in Scripture. In Philippians 2:29, Paul is encouraging the church to encourage and highly regard a brother named Epaphroditus. And he told the church to keep him in reputation. What's your reputation? It's habits. Long-standing, repetitive habits that become your identifying mark in the minds of other people. In a casual setting with friends, what do you and I most want to talk about? That becomes, over time, our reputation. If you're on Facebook, Lord have mercy and give us grace, what do you often post? What subjects do you post about most often? You're building your reputation in the minds of Facebook readers. Is it the reputation Paul described about Epaphroditus, or is it some other reputation? This dear Epaphroditus sets such a noble example for us to build a godly reputation. To try to find a way to bring Martha and Mary together in our life instead of keeping them apart. The more we sit at Jesus' feet, the more we serve. Jesus actually did that for us in Matthew 25, describing his rationale and his explanation of the final judgment. You did it to the least of these my disciples. You did it to me. Let's work on getting our Martha side and our Mary side on the same side.